Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Former Mayor David Dinkins will be with us for a few minutes next to recall bringing Nelson Mandela to New York for the first time and giving him a ticker tape parade after Mandela's release from prison. We'll also touch on Bill Bratton, who Dinkins, not Giuliani, first brought to New York to run a police force. But first, since everyone's talking about Nelson Mandela and playing little sound bites, we want to play a longer clip, and this is from that visit. This is 3 minutes from when Mandela visited New York and gave a speech on the steps of City Hall, 1990.
To you, the citizens of Queens and Brooklyn, through which we passed this morning, and to all of you citizens of New York, let me say from the bottom of my heart, we respect you, we admire you, and above all, we love you. Governor Cuomo, whilst in prison, my colleagues and I followed with keen interest your bid for the governorship. We heard and read about your powerful oratory and sharp analytical mind. I must say, having heard you speak, that what we heard and read was no exaggeration.
Governor Cuomo,
I am also very pleased that your son, Andrew, recently got married to Kerry Kennedy. Mayor Dinkins, your election as the first black mayor of New York filled me and our people with pride. We fully support your struggle to heal the wounds of this city. Keep up your good work. On behalf of all the citizens of New York, black, brown, and white. But please, Mr. Mayor, do not lose your wonderful smile and warm personality. Mayor Dinkins, ladies and gentlemen, many observers are fond of comparing Johannesburg with New York. For our people, New York has a special meaning and even fascination. I am therefore very pleased to receive the key to the city of New York. It is, I believe, in recognition of the heroism and courage of the oppressed people of South Africa. We are pleased to receive this award, as it is for us a wonderful expression of the legendary generosity of New Yorkers.
And there you have 3 minutes of Nelson Mandela on the steps of City Hall in 1990. And with us now is the mayor who made that happen, David Dinkins. Mayor Dinkins, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, my friend. That was really nice. Obviously, I hadn't heard that in a long time.
Were you getting chills listening to that?
Yes, indeed.
And I think I was anchoring the coverage that day, and I haven't heard it since then, so it certainly brings back memories, and just I remember the feeling of seeing Nelson Mandela, this giant, come to New York City. He had been freed from prison after 27 years in February of 1990. This
right.
visit was in June. How did it happen so quickly?
Well, he was going to travel, and Bill Lynch, who was the Rumpel genius, as the New York Times called him, he was determined that we could get Nelson Mandela to come first to New York before other places in the United States. This is the first place he came outside of South Africa, and he well might have gone first to Washington, D.C., or to Atlanta, or to Los Angeles, and he did indeed go to some of those places later. But Bill was determined that we could get this achieved, and of course we did. We were big supporters of the anti-apartheid effort and using sanctions as a weapon. And while some people said to me that maybe I had lofty aims, but what we were doing was harming the very people we wanted to help. But Nelson Mandela assured us that that was not the case, and always gave us credit here in New York for happening to bring about an end to apartheid in South Africa.
This was years before Mandela became president, which I think wasn't until 1994.
Correct.
So he wasn't the George Washington of his country yet, bringing different races together and then not running for re-election to help enshrine democratic succession. And Mandela did take up arms against the apartheid regime.
Yes, he did. And he was a relatively young man. Well-educated lawyer, but he was determined and was ready to give his life because he knew treason. The sentence for treason was
death,
and it happened that he got a life sentence, and then of course it was shortened to 27 years. But by God, he was a remarkable human being, and he for me is the greatest figure of the last 100 years.
And revolution may well have been justified in that case. And we know how Mandela evolved into a moral giant. But many have said he wasn't Gandhi before his prison time. Did you have any qualms about giving a ticker tape parade to someone who had engaged in armed resistance, even as little as Mandela did?
None whatever. None whatever. I thought he deserved that parade. Probably far more than some who've gotten it, but he was terrific, and the most amazing thing about him really is his total absence of bitterness. Who among us could have behaved as he did after being imprisoned for 27 years for that kind of reason, and yet he. He behaved, and he was the same always, whether playing with my grandchildren, because he stayed with us in Gracie Mansion for about a week, and whether staying with them or being questioned by the media, he was always the same.
You know, I was in my first year at WNYC at that time, and as I said, I anchored that live coverage and call-ins. And as a young host, Mayor Dinkins, I was shocked at the amount of racism that I heard on the phones directed even at the likes of Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
The calls were mostly positive, of course, but there was a significant minority of white callers who were saying Mandela wouldn't be celebrated in New York if he wasn't black, that apartheid was acceptable because blacks were immigrating into South Africa for jobs, that all we needed to know about Mandela was the violent act that he was imprisoned for, that you were a race man for celebrating him so publicly. Did you encounter any of that racism around Mandela's visit, or was I specially blessed by hosting a call-in show?
No, I heard about some of it from others, not directed at me, or at least in person. But I did hear of some with that attitude. It does not shock me because I'm a realist, and I know that some people genuinely believe that, and it's sad and unfortunate.
The struggles for equality in the U.S. and South Africa had parallels, of course, but they were also very different. And I wonder if Mandela, in his prison years, inspired you in any way as you were working your way up in city government.
Well, Well, it inspired me in the sense that I have always said that what he achieved, he and others, and I might add some courageous South African whites, took an awful lot of courage to stand up against apartheid in those days.
Many South African whites.
Yes, and I say what they were able to achieve to avoid an out-and-out bloody civil war, although many died, of course, on both sides. But think what it would have been if we'd had a civil war. And thereby, I maintain that that's proof that one day we'll have peace in the Middle East.
Did you ever meet de Klerk, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, of course, with Mandela, for being the, you know, the white president?
No, I didn't.
The last president in the apartheid era who did agree to dismantle it along with Nelson Mandela.
Well, he certainly deserves some credit for a recognition of the handwriting on the wall, as it were.
What do you remember most from Mandela's visit to New York?
Well, he had the habit of getting up and taking a walk. And so he got up one morning and he strolled out into Carl Schurz Park, and the Secret Service almost went crazy running after him. But he's thinking, what the hell? If he could walk around South Africa, he certainly could walk around Gracie Mansion. But they, of course, were very concerned for his safety, and he was good-natured and humored about it.
And by the way, listeners, you must go to our site and see the incredible photo of David Dinkins and Nelson Mandela, with Mandela wearing a Yankees jacket and hat, and you can hear the full speech there, too. So he gave that speech on the steps of City Hall, and then he also spoke at Yankee Stadium, right?
He did. He did indeed. And when I put the jacket around his shoulders and the Yankee cap on his head, he said, "You know who I am. I am a Yankee." And the place just went crazy.
The Mets fans must not have liked that.
Well, you know, I think they understood.
Briefly on Bill Bratton, if I might.
Sure.
You first brought him to New York to be transit police chief when that was a separate agency, and Ray Kelly was your police commissioner. What would you say was Bratton's legacy as transit police chief?
Well, he helped keep crime down in the subways, certainly, and he deserves credit for that, and I think that he'll probably do a good job. The Mayor de Blasio had to select from among three people, or at least he said he interviewed and considered three. And frankly, I felt that he couldn't lose. If he had selected the deputy commissioner, or if he had selected the chief of department, I think they would have been fined as well. And I'm satisfied that Bill Bratton is mindful of the difficulties that we've had in our city and those who complained about stop and frisk, and the commitment of Bill de Blasio to at least adjust the fashion which it's done. I think that we're going to be okay.
But just to recall the history, the legacy of Bratton, we had a guest earlier who said it was primarily cracking down on fare beating, which changed the culture, at least in the subways, and therefore started to lead to less criminality down there in general. How would you put it?
I don't know that I would put it any differently. Broken window theory that some have that say if we enforce the law against minor crimes, we're less apt to have to deal with more severe crimes. That may be so. I don't know. But I do know that it is very important to think in terms of what we call community policing. The community has to trust the police. Police have to trust the community because, in fact, that's how many crimes get solved with the assistance of the community. But if the community is afraid of the police and fears them instead of turning. When I was a child, you were told if you got lost, go find a policeman.
Yeah. It's ironic that He succeeded Ray Kelly in 1994 with a mandate to get tougher on crime. Now he's succeeding Ray Kelly again, partly to pull back on stop and frisk. I wonder, since you employed both of them, how you would compare Kelly and Bratton in their strengths as police commissioners.
Well, I think they're different people, but each is good. Each is good. Each really cares about our people. A person who can be police commissioner of the city of New York could command, particularly in these times of terrorism and whatnot, could command enormous fees legitimately in the private sector. And so I'm pleased that Ray Kelly has wanted to do what he has done, and I'm pleased that Bill Bratton wants to be commissioner of police again in New York. One might have thought that after Boston and the NYPD and the transit cops in Los Angeles, he might say, let me try something different. So I'm happy that he wants to do it, and I have great faith in de Blasio. He trained at the feet of Bill Lynch, who was one of my great supporters.
And I'll tell you one other thing that maybe you haven't heard yet. Mayor Bloomberg announced this morning that New York City will open the Nelson Mandela School for Social Justice.
I just heard that. Boys and Girls High?
That's right, on the Boys and Girls High School campus in Brooklyn.
I think that's terrific.
And Mayor Dinkins, you're terrific for coming on with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Planet Money follows a T-shirt from cotton fields to your back. Stay tuned. And later in the program, we will take phone calls on the legacy of Nelson Mandela. And we'll take phone calls particularly from any of you who came from other African countries. We know we get so many calls on this show from immigrants from all over the world. We want to do a little piece of reporting here with some of you coming up in a little while. If you came from an African country other than South Africa, did Nelson Mandela's legacy matter where you came from? So stay with us for all that. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.